Let me just offer a word of prayer in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, we are coming to the most sincere part of our gathering here today, the opening of the Word of God. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will truly speak to our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. Anyone that has gone to school can open the pages of any book, including this book, Bible, to read, but it takes your spirit to grant understanding. May you come and grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. Take away wandering spirit, Lord. Take away every distraction. And do something using what we shall say this morning to get us closer to you, Lord. We commit this aspect unto your care in the name of Jesus. Amen. Chapter 16, Mark, verse 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. John chapter 3. A very common scripture, but it's our thought today. I'm reading from verse 14. Hallelujah. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. If you are there. Then said they, the Jews, unto him, Jesus, What shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. About three scriptures we read, the emphasis there is on belief. It's on belief. Believe. You notice, the emphasis there is believing, believing, believing. Believing on him whom God has sent. Believe and be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth in the name of the Lord is passed from life, from death to life. Now that makes me now see that it means anybody that has decided to follow Jesus Christ is because he believed on him. Am I correct? You are not in the mosque today because supposedly you are a believer. You are not in a shrine today because supposedly you are a believer. Believer of the Christian doctrine. Believer of God's plan of salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, let me be sure. Can I see your hand up? Believer, 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 believer. Is there anybody? If you are not a believer, can I see your hand up? And what interests me is, why should you come all the way and identify with believers and still be an unbeliever? And by the end, you should be able to answer the question, do you really believe? At the end of this message, if the Lord allows me to finish it now. It's just one thought. It's to ask you very sincerely, are you a believer? It's not to look at another person, no. It's to look at yourself. Are you truly a believer? And I say it again. I'm not looking at people who are outside. I'm not looking at prostitutes outside. Occulting people outside. Those who refuse to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And they declare it by the life they live. I'm looking at those who are trying to confuse us that truly believe. Because some of us believe wholeheartedly. If you believe wholeheartedly, can I see your hand up? Put down your hand first. Put down your hand first. Let's finish the message first. Hallelujah. Why I say so is the gospel came to pull us out of darkness into light. The gospel is good news. That's the meaning of gospel. Gospel means good news. Good news of what? Good news that the whole world, every man, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and have been sentenced to death. But the good news is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you will not perish, you will go to hell. But you will have eternal life. It's the good news to the whole world. Nothing more than that. Now you have to break that down, because it is not a decision you make coming to Christ. When in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That decision, come to me there, it's not come with leg to church. It's a decision that starts from the heart first. And when a decision is made from the heart, it reflects in subsequent actions. And so you have decided to answer that call, to respond to the good news. You came to the altar. You went for water baptism. And yet, some of us see everything in many of us that confuses us to know whether you are a believer or not. Because it happened in Genesis chapter 19, the story of Lot. Sodom and Gomorrah, a type of the world, was going to be destroyed. In his mercy, God sent his messenger, those angels, to Sodom to deliver Lot and his family, including Lot's wife. Lot and his family, they left following the angel. An angel is a messenger of God. And he said, leave that city, for this city is going to be destroyed by fire. Come out. The evidence that we can see that they believe was that they obeyed that angel and left the city. So as they were going, were they believers? Are we together? Were they believers? Including Lot's wife. Suppose that they're looking at them, they believe. But she was going with her leg, not with her heart. And that is the kind of Christians we have today. What is the evidence? After she moved for some time, because it was not a faith that was anchored inside, her actions proved later on. She tried, I don't know how many kilometers they must have walked, and as far as Lot was concerned, all of us are believers of the message of the day. We are believers of the end time message, sent by the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And they were going and they were going. And I sometimes wonder why she looked back. The reason was she was to leave everything in Sodom. And there were some precious things that meant so much to her. She had her box of jewels. She had her fashionable clothing that made her stand out as, remember, Lot was a mayor of the city. So she was the first lady, the pace setter. Oh, the difference between Lot and his wife is clearly shown. They were told not to look back. If you look back, what will happen? You will turn to a pillar of salt. If she believed the message of that angel, she would not have looked back. Therefore, Lot's wife was an unbeliever. So that's why I say, before you put up your hand, there is a song that says, I surrender all. It says, unto thee. The song for some, like I say Friday night, I surrender some. I surrender some. Unto thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender some. Not all. And that was the problem of Lot's wife. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. But see, this useless woman, as far as Jericho was concerned, Rahab, a harlot, she had heard how, together with other citizens of that city, how the Jews, the Israelites in the wilderness, how they, you know, subdued those cities and those nations as they were passing through to their promised land. As they were getting closer to Jericho, fear caught them. Everybody was shaking. And the spies Joshua sent landed in her house, because the Bible says her house was by the fence of the city. Of course, it was strategically placed. Remember, she was a prostitute. So that she can see the first customers that will come into the city. Anyway, she confessed to them, we know, all of us, we are afraid, we have heard people are coming. And you know the story that went ahead. When they were looking for those spies to kill them, the harlot hid them and made them to escape. And she caused those Jews to make a promise to her that when they will be coming to destroy this city, they should spare her life. Then I told her a message. They gave her an instruction. Just take out a red thread, a red line, whatever it is used, they call it a scarlet line. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can see that story in Joshua chapter 2 and chapter 6 for those who read Bible only on Sundays. It's a familiar, very interesting story that everybody knows. And the Bible says that those spies gave that condition. Just put that by your window. And we are going to come to destroy the city if we see this scarlet line hanging on your window. Anybody inside that house will be spared.
God's attributes were manifested to his pride.
Now, what will be the evidence that she believed? Remember, she confessed. She said, we know. She knew that they were coming to destroy all of them. If she believed that, she would believe their instruction. It was a simple action. Just put this scarlet line there. That's all. The evidence that she believed is that she will obey. She will hang it there. That is the difference between Lot's wife and the harlot, the prostitute, Rahab. And of course, you read the story. That is how herself and members of her family were saved. Let me make another comparison again. In 1 Kings chapter 22, We have the story of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. I'm looking at the topic unbelievers in the church. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Ahab, a death sentence was hanging over him through the prophecy of Elijah for killing that poor man Naboth and collecting his piece of land under the influence of his wife Jezebel's advice. For killing that innocent man and collecting his land using his power as a king, a death sentence was passed over him and members of his family. But just like all human beings, when God speaks and it looks as if the judgment is delaying, you think God has forgotten. He has not forgotten. Sometimes God is not quick at striking. God is not quick at executing judgment. Why? According to 2 Peter chapter 3, he's long suffering. He's waiting, patiently waiting to see if you will repent. And while God is waiting to see whether you will repent, you begin to think God has forgotten. Does God forget? He can't forget. He is God. The Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. When he speaks, he watches over it. The only thing that can stop him from executing his judgment is if you repent. That means the evidence that you are not yet dead, the evidence that God wants you to repent, he wants to change his mind concerning you, secret sinner. The evidence that he loves you, that is why he's still keeping you alive and he's still waiting. He's still waiting for the day you will make up your mind and appreciate his love for you and repent and stop disgracing him. A lot of us are carrying Bible and all we do is to disgrace the name of the Lord. A prostitute cannot disgrace God because she has no connection with God. A ritual killer cannot disgrace God because she has no covenant with God. If there's anything, she's just waiting for her day of judgment. But you that have been reconciled through the blood of Jesus, carry Bible every day, even change your name to Bible name so that they will know you really, really believe the Bible. You are the only one that can disgrace God. That was Ahab, a covenant king of Israel. In that midst, he said he's going to war to go and recover that piece of land in Ramoth Gilead. And we know the story. 400 prophets we are prophesying to him. Now before then, remember, he called Jehoshaphat, another king. But this king was in the perfect will of God. He had no problem with God, Jehoshaphat. Amen.